Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 7, Indra Offends Brihaspati, Text 14. Tesham Kupata Destrina Patata Tamasi Hi Adha Ye Shraddadyur Vachas Te Vai Majanti Ashma Plava Eva Tesham Kupatadestrinam Patatam Tamasi Hyadaha Ye Shraddadyur Vachaste Vai Majantyashma Plava Iva Tesham Kupatadestrina Patatam Tamasi Hyadaha Ye Shraddadyur Vachaste Vai Majantyashma Plava Iva Tesham Kupatadestrina Patatam Tamasi Hyadaha Ye Shraddadyur Vachaste Vai Majantyashma Plava Iva Desanku Patatestrina Patatam Tamasi Hyada Desharadam Vasevai Tesham Kupatadestrina Vaishnavis, Tesham Kupatadestrinam, Patatam Tamasi Yadaha, Yeshadavya Vachaste Vai, Vachantyashma Pravayava, Tesham. Of them, the misleaders, Kupata Destrinam, who show the path of danger, Patatam, themselves falling, Tamasir, in darkness, he, indeed, Adaha, down, yea, anyone who, Shraddadyuhu, place faith in, Vachaha, the words. Te, they. Vai, indeed. Vajanti, sink. Ashma plavaha, boats made of stone. Iva, like. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Leaders who have fallen into ignorance and who mislead people by directing them to the path of destruction, as described in the previous verse, are in effect boarding a stone boat. And so too are those who blindly follow them. A stone boat would be unable to float and would sink in the water with its passengers. Similarly, those who mislead people go to hell, and their followers go with them. Please repeat. Leaders who have fallen into ignorance and who mislead people by directing them to the path of destruction, as described in the previous verse, are in effect boarding a stone boat. And so too are those who blindly follow them. A stone boat would be unable to float and would sink in the water with its passengers. Similarly, those who mislead people go to hell, and their followers go with them. Purport. As stated in the Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20-17, Nrideham adyam sulabham sudurlabham lavam sukalpam guru karnadaram. We, the conditioned souls, have fallen into the ocean of nescience. But the human body fortunately provides a good opportunity to cross the ocean, because the human body is like a very good boat. When directed by a spiritual master acting as the captain, the boat can very easily cross the ocean. Furthermore, the boat is helped by favorable winds, which are the instructions of Vedic knowledge. If one does not take advantage of these facilities to cross the ocean of nescience, he is certainly committing suicide. One who boards a boat made of stone is doomed. To be elevated to the stage of perfection, humanity must first give up false leaders who present boats of stone. All of human society is in such a dangerous position that to be rescued, it must abide by the standard instructions of the Vedas. The cream of these instructions appears in the form of Bhagavad Gita. One should not take shelter of any other instructions, for Bhagavad Gita gives direct instructions on how to fulfill the aim of human life. Lord Sri Krishna therefore says, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja, quote, give up all processes of religion and simply surrender unto me, end quote. Even if one does not accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His instructions are so exalted and beneficial for humanity that if one follows his instructions, one will be saved. Otherwise, one will be cheated by unauthorized meditation and gymnastic methods of yoga. Thus, one will board a boat of stone, which will sink and drown all its passengers. Unfortunately, although the American people are extremely eager to get out of materialistic chaos, they are sometimes found to patronize the makers of stone boats. That will not help them. They must take the proper boat offered by Krishna in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement. Then they will be saved. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur comments, Ashma maya plavo yesham te yata majantam plavam anumajanti tateti raja nityu bidestreshu sva sad yeshu kopo yan chitaha. If society is guided by political diplomacy, with one nation maneuvering against another, it will certainly sink like a stone boat. Political maneuvering and diplomacy will not save human society. People must take to Krishna consciousness to understand the aim of life, to understand God, and to fulfill the human mission. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the verse again, leaders who have fallen into ignorance and who mislead people by directing them to the path of destruction, as described in the previous verse, are in effect boarding a stone boat, and so too are those who blindly follow them. A stone boat would be unable to float and would sink in the water with its passengers. Similarly, those who mislead people go to hell, and their followers go with them. So, people in the modern world do not actually understand what is a successful civilization. They tend to judge things on the basis of material technological progress. They think that if a country is highly developed scientifically and technologically, then it is an advanced civilization or an advanced country. If the country or civilization is very wealthy from the material point of view, with all the signs of material wealth, like big houses, big skyscraper buildings, so on and so forth, they think it is an advanced civilization. But according to the Vedic understanding, there is a higher purpose of human civilization, which most people in the world are not aware of. Natevidu Svartikatim Hi Vishnu. They don't know that the highest goal of life is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. And they also don't understand Atato Brahma Jigyasa. The purpose of human life is to become self-realized, God-realized, to become free from the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease in this material world by going home back to Godhead. So the real measure of the success of a civilization or a nation is how many of the souls who are part of that civilization or nation, how many are becoming liberated from material existence and going to where they belong, the spiritual world. That is the actual measure of a civilization, a successful civilization. So by that measure, most of the nations and societies and civilization in the world today are not doing a very good job. Mostly, the government leaders are engaging the people in sinful activities that are not going to result in the people going back home, back to Godhead. They are engaging people in activities that are going to keep them in the material world, in the cycle of birth and death. And not only that, they're not just going to return in some human body to the same society or the same nation. They are going to return in lower bodies and maybe in lower planets. So, by that measure, human civilization today is not doing very well. As the Srimad Bhagavatam explains here, leaders who have fallen into ignorance and who mislead people by directing them to the path of destruction are in effect boarding a stone boat, and so are those who blindly follow them. So every society requires some leaders. The ideal leaders of human society, the intellectual leaders, would be properly qualified Vaishnava Brahmanas, devotees of the Lord, who are learned and who actually know the purpose of human life and can give proper direction to people. Unfortunately, in most countries today, the intellectual leaders are the materialistic scientists. And they are giving people wrong answers to the very important questions: who are we and where are we? A person should know who he is, where he is. If a person does not know who he is and where he is, he cannot act for his own self-interest, and he doesn't know where to go, because right from the beginning, he's lost. He doesn't understand where he is. So, how are the materialistic scientists answering these questions? Who are we and where are we? Well, they say, we are machines made of molecules. You know, there's one English atheistic scientist named Richard Dawkins, and he says, we are survival machines, robot vehicles, blindly programmed to preserve the selfish molecules known as genes. In other words, we're just machines made of matter. There's no soul. There's no God who's created you. You've just come about by random genetic mutations and natural selection. And where are we? We're in an accidental universe. A universe that just somehow or other, by chance, came into existence by some fluctuation of the quantum mechanical vacuum. Somehow or other, it popped into existence by some Big Bang. So, they are teaching we are machines made of matter in competition with each other for survival in a universe that came about, a purely material universe that came about by chance. So, it's no surprise what the result of such an understanding is. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, the 16th chapter, explains what this philosophy is and what the results of it are. Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ahur anishvaram aparasparasambhutam kimanyat kamahaitakam. Krishna explains, there's a certain type of philosopher who says, there is no God in control of the universe. The universe is purely material. It came into being in its own way. It has no purpose. The only purpose is the purpose that we make. So this is the philosophy that is being presented to the world by the modern materialistic scientists. They say, yes, if you want to, if it makes you feel good, then you can believe in your Bhagavad Gita, you can believe in your Bible, you can believe in your Quran, but don't try to tell us anything about the purpose of human life. Privately, you want to believe your thing. But we're going to organize society on a different basis. And what is that basis? Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that those who follow this philosophy of asatyam apratishtam te, jagat ahur anishvaram, the world is purely material, there is no God, there is no soul, there is no purpose, higher purpose. They will think, Lord Krishna explains in the 16th chapter, that to gratify the senses until death is the main purpose of human life. And they will structure their society in that way. And Krishna gives the result. They will experience anxiety from the beginning to the end of their lives. They will be full of anxiety because they have so many material desires, ever-increasing material desires that can never be satisfied. In their attempts to satisfy these desires by all the diplomatic and political arrangements they try to make, we see there are increasing levels of violence in the world today. Violence among individuals, violence among nations, violence among religions. But what do we expect? people are being taught, your machines made of matter in competition with each other for survival. This is the Darwinian theory of evolution. That's what it's teaching. So it's not surprising that there are increasing levels of conflict and social disturbance in the world. And it's also not a surprise that the environment is being destroyed. If people think that to produce and consume more and more material things is the main purpose of human life, and they're in competition with each other trying to gain control of these material resources, then of course there's going to be wars, of course there are going to be economic crises, of course there's going to be environmental destruction, the unsustainable consumption of the Earth's material resources, the forests being cut down, the rivers being polluted, the oceans being polluted, the air being polluted. Of course, all these things are going to happen because people are being misled. They're being misled to go on to what Srila Prabhupada and the Srimad Bhagavatam calls these stone boats that will never float. So, what is the solution? Well, although society itself is heading in a wrong direction because it's got leaders who do not understand the real answers to these important questions, who yesterday was Nrisimha Chaturdashi, the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev. So the Lord appears again and again to remind people of their real purpose in life and to discourage them from taking the wrong path of life. So individually, we can take advantage of these teachings, and we can arrange our own lives and the lives of our group, our society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, in that way. But, Srila Prabhupada had a broader vision. He didn't want ultimately just to save a few people. He wanted to save everyone, which ultimately is going to require changes in the whole worldwide human civilization if that is going to take place. And in this purport, we can see how Srila Prabhupada is thinking in that way. He's not talking about just saving a few disciples, but he wants to offer guidance to the whole worldwide human civilization. So that's a very expansive vision, and somehow or other we're part of a movement of which Srila Prabhupada was the founder, Acharya. So we're meant to serve his vision somehow or other. So we can see that Srila Prabhupada, if we look at his life, whatever Krishna gave him at any particular point in time, he was very careful with. Like, he came to New York City at an advanced age with no helpers, no support other than his faith in the order of his spiritual master and his faith in Krishna. And, you know, Krishna gave him a few followers. Actually, when he first came, he was trying to approach the big leaders of American society, the heads of the Rockefeller Foundation and the Ford Foundation, and asking them for support to help him in his mission. They said, "We don't give to spiritual causes, religious causes." So, Krishna sent him a few followers, a little Lakshmi. Whatever Krishna gave him at any particular point in time, he took care of very carefully. You know, you can look in his notebooks, his diary that he kept in New York City. He kept a record of every penny that was given to him, every penny that came in, every penny that was spent. Wasn't much, but he took care of it. If Krishna sent him a few followers, he took care of them very nicely. If he had a little storefront, he took care of it very nicely. So, but at the same time that he was taking good care of whatever facility that Krishna had given him at any particular point in time, he also kept his expanded vision. He was always thinking how to increase from New York to San Francisco, from San Francisco to London, to 108 centers before he left this world, with the centers in Mayapur and Vrindavan, Mumbai. He had a big vision. Part of his vision when he was present, he said this temple of Vedic planetarium should be built. Why? As a challenge to the wrong ideas that human civilization is now working under, because it's being misled by its so-called leaders. You know, the modern materialistic scientists, and who are promoting whatever, Srila Prabhupada said, whatever they can actually do, that we recognize. So we're not rejecting all science, but when scientists start talking about things that they cannot prove and they cannot demonstrate, like the idea that life came from chemicals, no scientist has ever shown how you can put chemicals together to form some living thing. They may say, in the future we will do it. But Srila Prabhupada would not accept what he called this post-dated check. And again, we have to keep in mind, what is the real reason that Srila Prabhupada objected to this idea that life comes from matter? Because if people define their existence materially, purely materially, then their goals and their values will become very materialistic, and they won't be so eager to take up the kinds of activities that are really going to lead them to the actual goal of life. They'll be distracted. That's why he was concerned about these things. Other ideas, like where does consciousness come from? They would say from chemicals in the brain. This idea of a soul that is the source of consciousness, this is just some ancient mythology. So, being misled by these false ideas, society is heading towards destruction. And what is the result? Yeah, Srimad Bhagavatam says, Those who mislead people go to hell, and their followers go with them. So this is the reason why Srila Prabhupada was concerned about these things. Out of Vaishnav compassion, he did not like to see so many souls on the wrong human civilization based on the principles. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. A whole society dedicated to understanding the real purpose of human existence. And it's possible for such a society to exist. But the first thing that has to change is the wrong ideas about who we are and where we are. We are eternal souls, spirit souls, servants of Krishna, in a universe manifested by Krishna. So, if people understood that, then they would try to organize society in such a way that most human energy could be devoted to developing the resource of consciousness, to elevate consciousness stage by stage until its ultimate perfection, Krishna consciousness. And as far as the material necessities of life are concerned, there's no need to divide ourselves into competing groups to fight over material resources. We should cooperatively try to satisfy our material needs in the most simple, natural, and efficient way possible, while putting most of our human energy into developing that resource of consciousness. So this is part of the reason why, you know, Srila Prabhupada wanted, you know, the Temple of Vedic Planetarium constructed, to draw attention of people on a worldwide basis to the wrong ideas that are currently misguiding and misleading them, and drawing their attention to the correct ideas that can give proper guidance to humans and all living things. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes, Mahatma Prabhu. There's a microphone.
And you were mentioning about how leaders are destroying the world ecologically and in other ways. We have a situation in which many people who come to Krishna consciousness already have careers within companies that are also destructive, or companies whose values are different than ours. And you also have people who are now coming to Krishna consciousness, who are in university being trained to likely end up working for a company whose values are different. So how does someone deal with that? Let's say you're an accountant and the only job you can get is with Monsanto. What do you do? And you need to work to support yourself. Or you're a chemical engineer and your job is to create pesticides and other polluting elements. What does one do in that situation?
Well, one can, as I was saying, society as it's currently organized is full of situations like that. So one can, first of all, at least in terms of one's own internal convictions, try to understand what the real situation is. And as far as what one should do, that's different in each case. Some, I mean, in the past, I mean, we've noticed people have sometimes given up their positions to take some other position in society. That doesn't happen in every case, but in some cases it can. People can change their occupations, they can. And, you know, sometimes that requires some sacrifice. It may not always be possible, so then one can give some of the fruits of one's work to a society like the International Society for Krishna Consciousness that is trying to establish proper values in human society. And ultimately, you know, one can also try socially to introduce these values in one's workplace, whatever it happens to be. Not necessarily by direct preaching, but, you know, if you're invited, would you like to go out for a drink? Oh, sorry, I don't drink. Would you like to do this or that? Sorry, I don't do. And gradually people begin to wonder, well, why? And then you can explain why. And then if one is, so that's one step one can take. And then sometimes one can take a more active role in trying to change the institution or organization that one belongs to. And we actually see that in the world today, there are corporations where the leaders in the corporate culture is trying to become more socially responsible or environmentally responsible or aware. So if one happens to be working for a corporation or institution like that, one might try to participate in that aspect of things. But there are ethical dilemmas that confront devotees who find themselves in these kinds of situations, but there's not, you know, just one way to deal with them. Seems like you've thought a little bit about this. Do you have anything to add that?
Hare Krishna, your answer is very good. I was thinking another option could be one simplifies their life to a point in which they have more freedom to choose where they work, so they're not so dependent on a certain salary, because that's a consideration. You have a certain overhead. If you're living on a certain standard, you don't have so many choices. So that can be a consideration. Of course, for many men who are married, consideration is when they consider all these things, sometimes they become brahmacharis. I just think, you know, it's a compromise. And I'll be compromised my entire life. And the reason I ask that question is there's a deeper reason behind it. And the reason is that Do we see in the future at some point that we as a society are going to have to live everything we teach? Because in many ways we don't live what we teach. We're working for a company that's polluting the world. We're using all this technology, not necessarily for Krishna consciousness, but for our enjoyment. And there's a dichotomy there. So that's also kind of where that question comes from. Because when I meet people and they say, well, I work for this, I've got a chemical engineering degree, and they're very excited about their new job, and I'm thinking, don't you realize? This is so contradictory to everything that Prabhupada wanted to do. So how do you see it in the future? Is it, do you think that our society should or will come to that point where we're totally aligned, or is it because we're in a compromised position that may never happen? Or are we meant to all go back to village life, farm life, and eventually get away from this at some point and not be part of it?
Well, it's a gradual process. We have to think what the ideal situation would be. You know, the ideal situation would be a world led by Vaishnava Rajarshis like Yudhisthira and people of that caliber, Maharaj Parikshit and others, guided by Vaishnava Brahmanas, and you know, organizing a whole society economically, politically, socially, culturally on Vedic principles. That would obviously be, you know, the ideal situation where all engagement could, there'd be proper engagement for everyone who wanted to make spiritual progress in life and still take care of their material needs. I mean, that would obviously be the ideal situation. We're not in the ideal situation now. So one solution that Srila Prabhupada appeared to envision is founding a society that people could join. And that's not an option for everybody. Not everybody can renounce their position in the material world. So he recognized that people could keep their positions and yeah, so there is that intermediate stage. But it would seem the best thing would be, if possible, to try to increase our own facilities and offer more and more engagement to people within our communities. And, you know, offer them the opportunity to form their own companies that are based on, and we see that happening, you know, people who have that type of propensity, they can create their own companies, offer employment to devotees. And as far as the world goes, some may have to be in a more compromised position, but you know, they could be, as you were suggesting, looking to simplify their lives so they can change their position. Or, as I was suggesting, working within their institutions and companies to try to make them more spiritual in some way. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.